It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And hope that you have a terrific Thanksgiving week ahead of you and Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to start off with a dichotomy of two worlds. The first world is the world of Utah and the Great Salt Lake. And the second world is the world of climate change and the recent report from the UN, 120 scientists, and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. But let's start out with Utah and the Great Salt Lake, where I've had the pleasure of spending a fair amount of time over the years. And this fall, something was brought home to me that if you only visit Utah, you're probably not aware of, but if you live there and you start interacting with people who are really focused on the Great Salt Lake, you realize that there is something very, very troubling. And I don't want to have a pre-Thanksgiving Sunday morning radio show about something troubling, but it's something to think about. And that is the Great Salt Lake, one of the larger inland seas, if you will, salt seas, certainly the largest in North America, is shrinking. And it's declining rapidly. And with the decline of the size of the Great Salt Lake, there is an environmental calamity looming. So just a little bit of history. The Great Salt Lake Basin is one of the largest migratory bird stopping areas in the world. It's the upper end of the Pacific Flyway and the eastern side of the Central Flyway, and its importance to migratory birds really cannot be understated. But putting that aside for a second, the Great Salt Lake has risen and fallen over the years, over the generations, over the thousands of years and beyond, just like everything else has. We look outside now at Lake Michigan, and Lake Michigan is frothing at the very top of all the concrete embankments we put out. And yet just a few years ago, not that long ago, 7 years ago, Lake Michigan was at an all-time low. The Great Salt Lake has been in general in decline ever since they began taking water in significant volumes out of the Great Salt Lake for Salt Lake City in Utah, and as that area has grown. So what's happened in the late 1980s, there was a massive flood, the largest flood since the Great Salt Lake Basin had been settled, which lasted several years, and there were millions of dollars worth of damage, and the Great Salt Lake rose to levels that had never been seen before. But ever since then, it's been going down. And one of the misnomers about the Great Salt Lake is that it is all salt. That's not true at all. The northern part of the Great Salt Lake is fed by a series of rivers, the Bear River, the Jordan River, the Malad River, and other rivers that keep the water at the northern end of the Great Salt Lake fresh. And then it becomes brackish, and ultimately you get to a salty lake. And the southern half of the lake is quite salty, but the northern part of the lake is fresh water going ultimately to brackish water. So as Salt Lake City and the Wasatch Front has grown exponentially, the rivers and the aquifers that feed the Great Salt Lake are being used for population growth, they're being used for industry, and the result is Utah's population is expected to double again in the next 15 years to a level that will be unsustainable because there's not water. The only way to have the water for the population and industry that Utah has today, much less a doubling in the next 15 years, is to take water out of these freshwater rivers that feed the Great Salt Lake. And that is what is causing the Great Salt Lake to go lower and lower and lower to the point where it is today at, many believe, the lowest level it has been since settlement times. and it has not been at a high level since the late 1980s, and only then for a period of a short duration. So the worry is, well, we could say, well, what does that matter? Why, if the Great Salt Lake is shrinking, and the Great Salt Lake covers hundreds of thousands of square miles, tens of thousands of square miles, rather, why do we care? Well, if you're in the ski industry, the Great Salt Lake is what makes the snow, which drives in all of the ski resorts that are now one of Utah's biggest tourism industries, is Utah's biggest tourism industry, because that big body of water that sits there, when the weather comes across from the west, it soaks up that moisture, hits the mountains, and it drops them on the other side. That's a well-known fact. The higher the level of water in the Great Salt Lake, the better the skiing in the Wasatch Mountains. You could say, I don't care about birds. I don't care about skiing. It's not a big deal. I live in Chicago, or I live in Memphis, or I live in New Orleans. I don't really care if they have a bird that flies to the Great Salt Lake. And I'm not interested in skiing, so I don't care what happens out there. Well, that's where the story of nobody caring what happens ends. And this is where the environmental crisis begins to occur. And I can almost be assured that nobody listening this morning, despite how well we all might feel we know about things going on in the environment, is aware of what could happen if the Great Salt Lake continues to lose its water and we expose thousands of acres and tens of thousands of acres of salt flats that are highly, highly polluted. We actually have a toxic waste dump that sits under the Great Salt Lake. There has been a century of mining with all kinds of chemicals and all kinds of residue that lays in the lake bed of the Great Salt Lake. And as the lake dries up, Salt Lake City is facing these incredible dust storms. These dust storms carry particles of chemicals that you don't want to breathe. And I'm not a scientist. Eventually, we'll talk more about that with people who can actually describe in technological terms what is going on. But the drying up of the Great Salt Lake exposes the lake bed, which is filled with everything from agricultural runoff to chemical runoff to human. And that, because those fine dust particles, which is one of the magic of the Great Salt Lake, is the way the soil is composed. Those fine dust particles go into the air, and when the wind blows, they go airborne, and they slam in to Salt Lake City and Provo and Ogden. But they also go beyond, and the air becomes contaminated with these dust particles that are carrying carcinogens and all kinds of things that you don't want to breathe. So the state of Utah is just coming to grips. And when I say just coming to grips, politically, they are nowhere near saying we have a problem, because that's bad for business. But a lot of people who have been business leaders in Salt Lake and in Ogden and Utah for a long time are beginning to recognize we have a serious problem. So this morning, I'm just laying out that we sit here in Chicago and we hear about the great growth in the West and the incredible things happening in Denver and Salt Lake City and Boise and how these cities are exploding. In the case of Salt Lake City, that explosion of population base on the whole Wasatch Front and a doubling of population in Utah in the next 15 years actually can't occur, because they do not have the water for the industry and for the people that are going to come and settle. The only place they can get the water is out of these rivers that come out of the mountains. These rivers have to feed the Great Salt Lake. If they don't, the Great Salt Lake is going to be in serious trouble. And today, as I talked to you this morning, it is in serious trouble. And next thing you know, you're going to be watching television and listening to a report about what is going on with the quality of air in Utah and how is that impacting the rest of us who live east of Utah. This is a serious situation. I've been made aware of it over a period of relatively few past years as we understand more of it. But it is one of those things where we're going to have an environmental industry and wildlife nexus coming together to try to solve a problem. And right now, it looks as though the problem can only be solved if Salt Lake City and Utah not only stops growing, but reverts some of its water uses so the Great Salt Lake can have more water. It may be the inland sea that for Utah, but for the rest of us in America who are east of it, it could very much impact the quality of our life. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoor Show. When I do, I'm going to go from the subject of too little water to too much water. Hope you're enjoying the show. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix Lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. During that break, I was thinking about the old saying, the elephant in the room, that nobody talks about, and the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about in the West is really the lack of water, and how are we going to have this incredible growth of population, which is taking place essentially in a desert environment. Well, the other elephant, which everyone's talking about, is climate change, and you cannot go anywhere now without the subject, and I talk about this from time to time, the subject of climate change being placed right in front of you. And whether you think we have climate change, you don't think we have climate change, it's really immaterial because it is becoming the central topic around the world. And as I've traveled around the world in the past 2 years, and particularly had the opportunity to do so twice this year in South Africa and again in Scotland, climate change is something they talk about every day. Particularly in Scotland, because they are desperately dependent on the Gulf Stream. And the current of the Gulf Stream, if it varies at all, could have a profound impact on the British Island and Scotland and Ireland. So, and anyway, the subject of climate change is with us. Some call it global warming. Some call it climate change. Some call it a hoax. Some call it all kinds of things. But the reality is, as I talk to you every Sunday morning and have for now 20 years, 20 years ago, it was a subject that was barely beginning. Today, as you all know, you can't pick up a paper or listen to the newspaper without it. So the UN has an intergovernmental panel on climate change. And the 120 scientists who make up this panel. If you read their report, you can't help but be absolutely frightened by what they say may happen. So I've always said I'm not an advocate of climate change. I'm not a defender of it. I'm not saying it's for real. My job, I feel, here at WGN Radio is to talk about what's in the, maybe not on the front page news, although this is more and more on the front page news, but what's out there, and you can make up your own minds. The climate change report says that coral reefs around the world are going to disappear, that we are going to have warmer water across not only our oceans, but our Great Lakes, that we're going to have monster storms, we're going to have massive rise of sea level, and we are going to have a catastrophe which is going to cause the largest migration, human migration in the history of the world. That's how the report starts. So if that doesn't at least get your attention to say, I think I ought to read more, as it did mine, here's what they're really predicting. The 100-year flood events will become annual in many places of the world by 2050. So a 100-year flood event is a once It's not a one in 100 years. It is you have a one in 100 chance of it happening every year. So you could say, well, I live in a 20-year floodplain. That means it's only going to flood every 20 years. No, that means that you have a 1 in 20 chance of it flooding every year. So their feeling is that the 100-year flood events will become annual by 30 years, and that by 2200, so a little time from now, but not that far from now, we could have areas of the world where the sea level has risen by 10 feet. Put 10 feet on Miami, and Miami is not there. Other areas of the world, they predict the sea level is going to rise by 3 feet. 3 feet, and Miami is in real trouble. The warming oceans, their prediction is, will wreck fish, excuse me, I should be able to say that word, wreck fish species, but maybe not quickly. Salmon, halibut, cod, all the cold water species of the world, they feel within 50 to 75 years will be virtually extinct. The warming oceans will cause acidic levels to rise, and there will be less oxygen, as warmer water, we all know, holds less oxygen, and this is going to wreck the coral reefs of the world, which means it will wreck the habitats of most of the fish of the world. Their feeling is that if we can keep warming below 2.7 degrees, we should be able to go from where we are now to a manageable situation. But if we can't, we have the largest migration of humans in the history of the world. And the General Secretary of the UN now says, I don't want to use the word climate change anymore. I want to use the word climate crisis. He says, we have a climate crisis. 1.9 billion people live in coastal areas. They'll have to move. That's a lot of people moving, if this report is right. And this is now not something that is, in their view, 200 years away. Their view is it happens within the next 80 years or so. So here we are in 2019, and they say by 2100, all of this could have occurred. Well, if only half of it occurs, we still have a billion people on the move. We still have an incredible change in our lives worldwide. And then they talk about permafrost, how permafrost sequesters carbon, which carbon's one of the great engines that does fuel rising temperatures, and that as permafrost melts, carbon thaws and it's released into the atmosphere, and we have more temperature gains. And they talk about hot zones in the ocean. And the number that really struck me was in 1950, we had a world population of 2 billion. Today, we have a population of 6 billion. In the year 2200, we're going to have a population of over 10 billion. So we are in a situation where we do face the possibility, if these reports are correct, of a world that nobody recognizes. And so 2100, that's 80 years from now. The population in the world 80 years from now is going to be close to 75% larger than it is today. And most of these people live in areas that are going to go underwater or are going to be uninhabitable. So the report of the Climate Council of the UN does make one think, I don't care how much you discount this as being not valid, this climate change issue, the whole thing is not being something that we should pay attention to. I think we have to pay attention to, and we have to understand it better. And before we go and take the word on it's a climate crisis, which is what the UN is going to shift its terminology to, it may well be the looming climate crisis that changes the face of the earth from anything we've ever known. We better pay attention to what the smartest people are saying and have a dialogue that is much, much more balanced And I would say that the number of reports coming out about the impact of climate change are indicating, even for those people who say it doesn't exist, that it does exist in one form or another. The climate of the Earth has always been changing. We know that. But if we are entering a period that is going to be proven to be true, then we have a real problem on the Earth. So in the meantime, let's just switch for 10 seconds. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, deer season in Illinois, great time to get outdoors, be with your family. I'll be back next Sunday morning. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.